Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
My goodness, I can't wait for you to finish the statement that you were saying yesterday. It was a powerful program yesterday. So encouraged. And something was like, you were talking about something's inside the United States. And next thing we're talking about Mexico. We're talking about Africa. We're talking about communism. I'm like, you've got to tell us the rest of the story today, because you were talking about the harvest, the prophecy going on. And it was cool about Africa and Russia and Mexico, but I'm concerned what's happening up in Beverly Hills, you know what I'm saying? And we're going to be talking about that today. Also, we're going to get a fresh update from the Jerusalem Post, what's taking place in Israel. They've signed a new peace treaty out of Egypt. It looks like this one potentially is going to stand, although none of them have in the past.
Right.
But it makes you think about the words where he says, the word of God says, they'll say peace, 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 peace. We just thought they'd say it twice, right, in the scriptures. And it's like, all I say is peace, 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 and then the sudden destruction. So we're going to be talking about today, the world is truly being organized. It's being, you know, Lucifer's tactics, Alinsky tactics that have been taught since Lucifer organized a third of the angels against God.
Mm-hmm.
They actually thought they were going to take over God's throne. They really did. I mean, believe it or not, he wanted his throne to be above God's throne in the presence of God.
That's how scary deception is.
Yeah, and so you don't want to underestimate man's evil, dark heart that wants to have hegemony, which is that they want their throne to be above every throne on the face of the earth. That's, that when you hear that word, it means men want to rule the world. But nobody really knows what that word means. Mm-hmm. Hegemony crickets, we did a segment on that. But when you hear about the Muslim Brotherhood or the Palestinians and the charter for Hamas, they're talking about hegemony in there, which means ultimately they want Sharia law. They want to rule the world because they believe that they're right. And so we'll be talking a little bit about that also today. Man, a revelation. You know, a revelation is like, men do not live by bread alone, but we live by every proceeding word that comes out of the mouth of God. And, you know, religion wants to tell you, and people who left God want to tell you, that God does not speak. There's no oil in the lamps, and it's only because they've hardened their hearts and stiffened their necks. Our God speaks. Mm. He speaks volumes. The big thing is, are you ready to hear?
Right.
And I was just abiding this morning and spending time in Matthew chapter 23. And 23 is pretty interesting, because these are men struggle with wanting to be religious, even though they're wrong.
Mm.
And it's like, what are you... just leave already. It's like, you're still, God's talking to you. You're killing everybody he's sending to you, and you're still calling yourself one of God's folks. It's just an amazing thing, isn't it? It's like, that's actually when you read it, because he's talking about, you know, you Pharisees, you hypocrites, you whitewashed tombs, you brood of vipers. Stay tuned for my next message. That's what Jesus was saying. God was saying, I mean, when God says, you brood of vipers, I mean, think about, it's a time to really think about, it's like, okay, am I a viper? I mean, you need to think about that, right?
Yeah.
Am I part of the paradigm of religious whatever, you know? But that's really, it's really a man's struggle, right, John?
Yeah.
A man's struggle with, he feels it's the right direction, but yet it's his own direction. It's not even, you might even want to turn the cameras over on John when I'm talking to him, or possibly, I don't know. But think about this. They were struggling. They really wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that amazing?
Absolutely.
Like, think about that.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that I thought was real striking, because I've been staying some time in the book of Matthew and reading and abiding there, and Jesus, in the 28 chapters of Matthew, Jesus talks about the Pharisees 11, 12 times, almost a third of the time.
Yes.
A third of the time he addresses Pharisees.
Right.
This is religious spirit. And I go, okay, God, you know, how many times have you read about the Pharisees? At least I have, and thought, wow, those poor Pharisees. Those people over there.
Damn, I'm glad I'm not like
not
them.
Ever thinking that, you know, maybe that could apply to me, you know?
Right, right.
And as I have been reading, I've been saying, maybe there does. It is.
Right.
It does apply.
It's a spirit. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but a spirit. But I just had a lot of empathy in regards to thinking about these guys is like, man, they're really struggling wanting to be religious. But Paul said in the particular Greek city, he says, I see you're very religious, but you're very wrong.
Mm, right.
He did it in a very kind way. But he was explaining to them as he pilfered through all their different gods and found one. Oh, they got one with no name on it. Okay, yeah. We'll just say, let me explain the one with no name. I mean, he didn't dog out all the other ignorance. He just focused on, they had an opening. There was an opening there to be able to speak into their life. And the Pharisees were very religious. But they killed every single one.
Mm.
They killed every single one that was sent to them from, you know, from Abel to, I don't know, Hezekiah or whoever it was. And Zedekiah or whoever it was. Zechariah. And it's like, sometimes we struggle. We think like, you know, I told God yes. And, you know, I started preaching the gospel and I sent out my fundraising letter. And, you know, nobody sent me any money. Somebody said, take me off your mailing list. And, you know, people are giving me a hard time. I'm telling them what God was saying and they're hating on me. And it's like, have they crucified you yet?
Right.
Have they stoned you yet?
Right.
You know, have they, you know, and the thing about it is like, what are we doing wrong? I mean, I don't want to be stoned. I mean, I'm not as strong as Pat and as stable as him. and I'm a little bit taller than John, so
yes, you are.
he can duck with the stones.
Hey,
right.
But bob and weave, baby. Bob
and weave.
But I've been hit. I've been shot before. I've been shot before.
We know. I'm in the leg, right?
Well.
Well, that time too. Yeah. and it feels when you get shot. When you get shot, it's sort of like a car running into you.
Mm.
It's an amazing, stimulating feeling.
I bet.
And
stimulating.
Yes. Is the studio door locked? No. Anyway, you know, I've been shot before, and it just feels like you're being stoned by boulders, pretty much. You know, and you look for this big, huge tractor that just ran over you, and there's nobody there, or there's somebody there with a little small. Focused control burn inside of a barrel of a gun, you know, and if you get shot twice, I mean, you just think about this. I mean, that this is what happened to people who said the truth. And so many people was like, you know, they're cutting back on my 401k. You know, I have a faction inside this gathering that's coming against me, you know what I'm saying? And they won't give me my own TV show. It's like, what do you really want a TV show? And whatever, and it's like they killed them from the time of Abel to today. They always come against people who don't. What it is, I was abiding this morning and I was asking the Lord, you know, just to speak to me in it, is men know they need to be with God, but they also know they don't want to leave their life of sin.
Mm.
And so we're thinking like, how can I stay with God and stay stupid? How can I stay with God and stay with my secretary?
Hmm.
How can I stay with God and stay in pornography? How can I stay with God and stay the leader of this church, or, you know, with the flowing robes? Mm-hmm. That's what they were known for, flowing robes, mm-hmm. and people to know them on the outside of their cup. And it's like, you can't. So you're always going to be frustrated and you're always going to be used by the adversary to stone the ones that God sent to you. But this is the big thing that stood out. And I'm going to be talking about this today. But this is the big thing that stood out was Jesus said this. He said, man, hell's going to be hot for you. And then he said, all the blood from the time of Abel, the innocent blood from the time of Abel to today will be on you.
Mm.
So it's not just your immediate lifespan and, you know, your short life, because it will be short. Just what you did there. But it's like from the time of the beginning of all men, all the guilt blood from the time of Abel will be on you for doing that. And it's like, man, it's time to deal with the religious spirit. It's like, you know, how in the world? Why would God call, you know? I mean, look at the outside of my cup. Can't you see how hard I worked on my cup? I got a brand new coat of green paint on. I look alive, right? Lively. And it's like, my goodness, the blood since the time of Abel. So I want to encourage you. I really believe in America, because you think about it. If we're bragging about, you know, how significant the church is, we got this whole thing called conservatism. Supposedly the church is conservatives. In America, and 97% of us are not even walking with God in the area of our hearts. You know, we're robbing from God.
Mm-hmm.
Here's your tithe and offering. 81% of us that actually have his Bible don't even pick it up. And the 19% that do, only 3% really take it seriously. So that's a religious spirit. It's a religious spirit where we're not willing to let God's leadership begin to lead. When we push the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, out of the church and say, no, I got this thing.
Right.
Mm. It's like, he's going to give it to you. It's not going to be good.
Right.
And, but he said, like, brood of vipers and whitewashed tombs. And I mean, this whole analogy of what it's like, at some point you think, you know, like, maybe we're not right. But instead they called God Satan. Satan's captives, Satan's children, called God, Emmanuel, Jesus, the Son of God, God in the flesh, the face of God, the expression of God, the love of God. They called him Satan. So I just want to encourage you, if you're going through a difficult time in your church right now, don't give up on speaking the truth. Realize if they treated Jesus that way, they're going to treat you that way. Don't quit speaking truth. Speak it in love, but realize that means you're doing the right thing. I mean, if it truly is, you're really loving on them, folks, and you're telling them, you know, what the truth is, and they're just saying, no, I refuse to leave this life of sin, and we're going to throw you out of this church, you know, and encourage you, too, not to be a hired person, you know, be a called person, because it's going to be tough to stay. If they hired you, they can fire you. But if God has called you, no man, even if you're in a cave like Elijah, you can't be, you know, you're just got a call in your life. Mm. Even if you're in the belly of a well, you still have a nameplate for you in Nineveh that's waiting for you to come up, show up in your office. I mean, that's what God's called you to do.
That's right.
He didn't even want to show up, right?
Mm-mm.
No, you can sell the office. I don't need the wing of the ministry. It's totally good. So I just want to encourage you today. We're going to give an update after this break from Jerusalem, what's taking place in Israel with the Operation Protective Edge and so much more.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
There's a claim that our founders wanted a separation of church and state. Well, that's an unconstitutional lie. There are over 1,000 proofs to prove our point, and today we're going to show you several that are related to a book called The Life and Morals of Jesus of Nazareth. This book was actually printed and distributed by our federal government. Yes, our government printed The Life of Jesus. Not only did they print it, but they did it for over 50 years. Now, to top it all off, they distributed this book for the use of members of Congress because of the important teachings that it contained. There was no separation. That's an endorsement and embrace. Let me recap this for you because you've probably never heard it before, and I doubt that it's taught in schools today. Number one, starting in 1904, our government printed and distributed The Life and Morals of Jesus of Nazareth. Number two, for the next 50 years, our government printed and distributed The Life and Morals of Jesus of Nazareth. Number three, for those 50 years, the life and morals of Jesus of Nazareth was put into the hands of our members of Congress. Those are three incredibly powerful facts showing that our government didn't separate, but actually printed, distributed, embraced, and endorsed the life and morals of Jesus of Nazareth. Now, that's something to think about. God bless you.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
Law, liberty, justice. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I have a rental unit above our garage, and we would like to qualify as much as possible the person that we have living so close to us in that unit. And I'd like to be able to know, can I ask if they are a Christian? Can I incorporate the Ten Commandments into the rental agreement? What can I do in that regard?
The Supreme Court of the various states have said, look, under your sincerely held religious beliefs, you cannot be compelled to rent your property to someone who's living in an arrangement that you find morally offensive. And there's been good support there. Now, when it comes to denying someone the ability to rent commercial real estate based on their religion, the courts have gone pretty much the other way. And once you've entered commercial enterprises, the laws against discrimination apply, and they should.
Visit us at ACLJ.com. That's ACLJ.org.
But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death. Let me tell you something. Dying outside of knowing Jesus Christ, you will live in agony. Jesus calls it where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. I don't care how many Bibles you have. I don't care how many empty, powerless buildings you build. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm telling you, and there's so much religion now, it makes you want to puke. It's like, where's the electricity here? Where's the power? He freed him from the agony of death. And if Jesus was under the agony of death, you don't think when you die outside of making Jesus Christ the Lord of your life that you won't suffer weeping and gnashing of teeth, the agony of death forever? I'll never forget this South African minister who died in a car accident, and he went to hell. Reinhard Bonnke talks about it, and they have a video of him. And you know what he saw in the fire? It's going to shock you. You know what he saw in the fires of hell? Preachers! And you know what they were saying? Give the money back, right? Give the money back!
You've just been listening to a moment from the VFN Dream Center. Find out more. Join the dream at VFNDreamCenter.org. That's VFNDreamCenter.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
We're going to go right to Israel and find out an update coming from the Jerusalem Post for where they are in Israel right now. Take a watch.
Heavy rocket fire bombards Israel. A Jerusalem Post reporter shares his experience in the south. Operation Protective Edge enters day 50. And Hamas shows off their find. Shalom and welcome to the Jerusalem Post News. Here are your headlines for Tuesday, August 26. Operation Protective Edge entered its 50th day on Tuesday, and Israel came under heavy rocket fire. Rocket sirens blared in Tel Aviv and central suburbs on Tuesday morning as the Iron Dome defense system intercepted a rocket over the region. On Monday night, northern Israel also came under fire when two rockets were fired from Lebanon. The IDF responded with artillery fire at the source. A total of 115 rockets and mortars were fired into Israel on Monday, causing property damage and injuries. 14 of the projectiles were shot down by the Iron Dome. On Tuesday morning, before noon, a total of 53 projectiles had been fired from the Strip. On Tuesday morning, 50 homes were damaged in the south by heavy rocket fire as it continued to pummel. The Jerusalem Post reporter Ben Hartman was on the scene yesterday and is on the phone to report his experience.
Speaking to residents of the south yesterday, the 49th day of Operation Protective Edge, it didn't seem, or you didn't get the feeling that people thought that the operation had really achieved its goals, certainly not the goal of being able to, the principal goal of being able to finish Hamas's ability to fire rockets on the Israeli front, home front, or at the very least to establish some sort of deterrent to prevent them from doing so. People didn't feel that that goal had been reached. They also felt that there's possibly the only way to solve this is to either enlarge the military operation and go in with another ground operation and you know, quote-unquote, finish the job, whatever the cost, or achieve it through the diplomatic means, through talks, through truces, either indirect or direct talks with Hamas. People also don't feel that that's really being pursued. At the moment, if we look just yesterday, there are well over 100 rockets. Today, we're on target for that same number. Just as we're speaking, there's rocket sirens coming in. So there doesn't really seem to be today any sort of feeling that it's really achieved those very principal goals. People seem to be very tired, rather angry, and still living in the same sort of fear that they had at the very beginning of the operation and over the last 10 to 14 years. If anything now, just more tired and just more frustrated.
The IDF struck more than 70 targets across Gaza on Monday and another 15 overnight into Tuesday. The Army said it struck a rocket launching site after recording rocket attacks from a school compound in the Shajia neighborhood from a concealed launcher west of Khan Yunis. Before dawn, Israeli air strikes killed two Palestinians and destroyed much of one of Gaza's tallest apartment and office buildings, setting off huge explosions and wounding 20 people. The IDF says the buildings attacked included apartments used for planning terror activity and for the manufacturing of weapons. Hamas's armed wing claimed on Monday that it had succeeded in seizing an Israeli reconnaissance drone in East Shajia in Gaza City. The video shows a Hamas-masked fighter carrying parts of what the group said was an Israeli drone. They did not provide any details about when the alleged drone capture took place. Israeli authorities did not immediately comment on the drone or the Hamas claim. And that's all for today. We'll be back tomorrow with more headlines. For now, shalom from the Jerusalem Post studios.
It is totally amazing to me. Remember to pray for the peace of Israel. And we'll be talking in our next program. Make sure you catch it. This whole thing's going to flank. This whole thing is going to flank all of a sudden. I just prophetically speaking, it's going to flank. And flank for everybody that doesn't understand how that works. It's like all of a sudden, you know, you're going this way. And then all of us, it just takes a 90 degree turn. And it's like troops are marching this way. And then a flank goes this way. If I'm right, you can get with Pat if not. Kind of told me. And it is flank right march, right?
Yeah, sounds right.
Thanks.
I think, yeah.
What's that?
Oblique.
Oblique, right. That would be a 45, wouldn't it? That's a 90? Like I was saying, it would be oblique right turn.
Allegedly.
That's from the Marines. Allegedly. Anyway, so they went to the Y side to make sure they got that in. Can you believe it? 80% of the folks were with a strong leader when he's standing up defending Israel, you know, Bibi, you know, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, and all of a sudden, you know, he's fighting, he's doing everything, he's willing to push forward, he's defending, remember the three teenage boys that were murdered by Hamas, simultaneously making sure that with everything within his strength and ability, that the government that he leads, that every Palestinian is out and does not get hurt, that his strength. And 80% of you supported him. And now that it's coming to the end of this campaign, you know, you dropped to 40%. You know, we've got to make up our minds. It's like, you know, we're so fickle. Yeah. We're so, I mean, can you ever satisfy? And I strongly believe, you know, he stood up for you. You need to stand up for him. Exactly. And realize this is a journey and peace. And this is what we're talking to you on VFN TV all the time for all of our viewers and listeners in Israel, that there's going to be a constant influx of just stress and time, and these things are going to happen, and it's right for you to pursue peace. And we're praying that there's going to be peace, but the ultimate peace is going to be Yeshua, the Messiah, coming back to bring peace to Israel. And it's going to be this peace that lasts forever. And so it is coming, but it's a crying out for peace. I mean, when you stand by the Western Wall and you watch the rabbinical priesthood and the young priests dancing and, you know, singing for the Messiah to return, and just, I mean, God's going to answer that.
Yeah.
He's going to answer that, because there is going to be a second coming. But know that these tensions, and if you have a leader that stands up and says, you know, like Bibi, and stands up, we just need to pray for them, because, you know, politics is a fickle thing.
For sure.
The wind blew one direction. 80% were saying yes as he stood and defended all of Israel, because remember the thousands of missiles going in? You remember that?
Yeah. Well, that's a peacemaker. He's making peace.
Right.
As one thing, he said he wouldn't stop until they have stability and bring back the quiet, bring back the peace in Israel.
Right. And so just remember them, pray for them. And we're going to be talking about that part of the harvest. Rick Joyner's prophetic book, as you guys were talking about on the previous program. We're going to finish that in our next program. Make sure you catch it, because we're going to talk about that the enemy is within America. There's the enemy that's inside of America is stronger than the enemies outside of America. And it's important that you need to listen to it, because, you know, a strong, confident nation, it's difficult for them to realize that we have issues that are terminal if we don't get healed from them. And the only way that you can take America down, according to Abraham Lincoln, is from within. She has to take herself down. There's nobody strong enough to take her down other than God, obviously. Mm-hmm. And so she has to take herself down. So make sure you catch that, because we're going to be talking about that word, because we got to begin to really realize that God is completely in control. much of God's folks, the church, is we're walking in sin. I mean, if we're not 81% of us are not picking up our Bible, obviously we're not doing what the Bible says.
Right.
You know, man, you don't know this because you're not picking it up. And the other percentage just doesn't think it's relevant because people are preaching. It's not really relevant. It's, it's just the grace and all that kind of stuff. Mm. And mind you, it is the New Testament where God was dealing with Matthew 23. That's not like...
And Ananias and Sapphira.
That's not
so.
Leviticus 23. It's Matthew 23. Yeah, and Ananias and Sapphira and the whole work. So make sure you stay tuned to it because we'll find out if we know what's going on, we can repent. Mm. Mm-hmm. We can say, I just didn't realize that. Now I know the error of my ways, and this is the way I'm going to go, and I'm going to walk in it. Well, wasn't it amazing when, God began to really just you've kind of watched that process where God began to just lay the persecuted church on my heart, mm-hmm. And I know, I wish, Steve was with me in the beginning of that journey, and I was praying and just burdened, we pray continually, God, give us your heart. And there's one thing that we haven't done a lot of in America is because we have the power to free folks. We have the ability and the military strength to free every persecuted Christian mm-hmm. out there, pretty much.
Yeah.
And so I just began to just carry that in my heart, And Jesus says, when I was in prison, you visited me. When I was, thirsty and hungry. And right now, when you're seeing the church being persecuted, you can just come out right and just say, Jesus is being persecuted. He said to Saul, when Saul was trying to go to the church in Damascus, Syria, and to persecute the church there, which we're seeing today, Jesus appeared to him and said, why are you persecuting me? Mm. And so when we see Jesus being persecuted, we got to respond. We have an obligation to respond. And so I just carried that. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, we're so self-focused. Help me, Lord, to keep my eyes off of America, the 5%, and put it on the person, the persecuted church. How do we do this? Then I got with Steve, because we have a 24-hour prayer every Monday now, by God's grace, for over 5 years, and we were going to birth a new prayer for the persecuted church, biblical perspective prayer. And so he starts writing, and we just pray, and then all of a sudden, it just came time. It just became time to loose the prayer, but I didn't want to loose this new biblical perspective prayer inside of our prayer and fasting community without prayer and fasting. So we went into a time of 3 days of prayer and fasting for the persecuted church. God, touch our hearts, melt our hearts, help us to be, our hearts be broken what your heart is broken. And that was the time that Miriam Ibrahim was taken prison. She was pregnant, had to deliver that baby inside that prison, in the Sudanese prison. And we cried out. And when she was released during those 3 days.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. She was brought in. She was released. She was brought in. She was released. And she was totally released in those 3 days of prayer and fasting. And we're going to talk to you about this revelation that God unfolded when we get back from this break, that God is just speaking. And you need power to go through what's about to happen. You don't need power to make your name large. You need the power of God to survive what's about to take place on the face of the earth. And it's going to be great if you have the power of God to be able to walk through it. More when we get back from the break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
But a conversation, you'll be surprised. You have to keep your brain active. And personally, and this is how my brain works. And maybe if you're a different kind of design of a brain, you have to have complete silence so you can hear yourself talk to yourself. I don't need to talk to myself. And you have to hear yourself think. Yeah, look at that. His eyes roll up his head. He goes, that's true. That's actually, I needed to hear myself think. They're the ones that go, shh, I'm thinking.
Yeah. 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 Right. Yeah, no noise.
All you do is snap your fingers and they're lost. Where am I? What happened? But to me, it just makes my brain just fire off everything. And I just love to hear good, positive, conversation. And there's nothing more positive than talking about the things of God and God's perspective behind the news and, wisdom moments. Think about wisdom is the proper application of knowledge. You can go to college for, 4 years, 6 years, 8 years, and you can be knowledgeably ignorant. And it's a shocker, doctor,
see, right here, this is how you start your car.
right?
Oh, yeah. Because there's so much knowledge. It's like, but you got to have wisdom on how to apply that knowledge. And we hope, you know, in the conversations that we're having, we're sharing with you the wisdom that God has revealed to us. How do you live your day-to-day life? That's wisdom. How do I apply, you know, the word of God to my life, the commandments of God and all that? And just, it's just, I love VFN Radio. You know, when I'm, I'm not saying it because I'm part of it, is the fact that I listen to it when I'm not on it, because it's the word of God. It's a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I encourage you to get a device, a radio or an I something or an N something, and put it on your desk at work, and, you know, put it by the kitchen sink and just carry it with you or whatever, and just listen. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Think about it. 24 hours, 7 days a week, all around the world, you can hear VFN Radio. And if you miss a segment, that you just like catch a half of it, don't be disappointed like it used to be. Oh, I'm just so disappointed. I'm sure the first part of that was good. You can actually go into the highlights or go to the VFN Torch, and you can hear the whole segment, And in addition to that, you can have podcasts downloaded into your devices, and podcasts are so cool because you can keep them forever in your own storage device. But be encouraged. Understand that this is very, very important, because as the days progress, although it gets darker and darker on the outside for the church, for those who love God, it gets lighter and lighter. This is what the Word of God says. He says, your peace in the midst of chaos and trouble and disaster is a witness to those who don't know God. He says, this is a witness to them, letting them know that you're going to be saved by God. God's going to protect you in it. But to them, it's a witness that they're going to be destroyed unless they know God, which is a witness. You're just having peace. And by listening to VFN Radio, you can keep that peace. You can keep that peace so you can be a witness. Sometimes your greatest witness is to sit beside somebody while they're watching the daily news and just relax and have a cup of coffee while they're biting their fingernails. It's like, what?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really mean it. You know, not, they aren't faking it. It's just like, what?
Thank you for watching VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light and focused on Israel.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
So here we are, you know, carrying this burden of the persecuted church. And at that point, you notice that was the moment that when God began to speak to me. And I'm just telling you my journey. There's people, all kinds of journeys all over the place. And so in this, you know, Miriam Ibrahim was released during that times of 3 days of prayer and fasting. And so we're launching this prayer, and we begin to pray it ever since, you know, every Monday. And if you want a copy of it, you can contact us. Go to vfntv.com. And of course, it's available to all of our partners as well. And so the first message that God began to just, you know, I had no idea there was going to be this continual outpouring that God was going to speak through. And he just kept speaking and speaking and speaking. It's just powerful. You got to get it. It's available. But this is going to be all available. Everything's available in its entirety to our partners. And I think it's just like $9.95 a month or something like that. You know, just partner with us and we give you everything because we want you to have it. But it was the promise. You think about it. So the first thing that I started speaking on in the context of this, the persecuted church, you think about it. When the power of God fell in Acts, you know, chapter 1, chapter 2, all of a sudden Peter begins to preach a message. I mean, good things are happening. I mean, the church is birthed. And so Peter sees this guy by the gate, beautiful, and he's crippled. And they, you know, silver and gold have I not, but what I do have in the name of Jesus, I'll lay hands on you and rise and walk. And he did. And so good things happen. A man that was sick is no longer sick anymore. Remember this. All of a sudden, all the religious folks came in to become critical. They began criticizing, judging and everything. And next thing you know, they put him in prison. Of course, he preached the message. Everybody gathered around him first because they saw the miracle. They knew this man had been, so it was a sign. And everybody began to wonder, and everybody came up. So they preached the gospel, and thousands of people said yes to Jesus Christ, and the church began to really grow and expand. But its leaders, like we said earlier in the program, got immediately put in jail because the religious folks didn't like the fact that something was happening at their place and not your place, your place, not their place, you know, that kind of thing. And they locked them up. They put them in jail. And you, this is something you got going for you. Understand this if you're following God. That religious folks, people that are held captive by all that, they're living for what people think about them. It's all about what somebody thinks about them. So they're very political. That's why you have people that are like that, like to get into politics, and they like to be able to, they kept this big facade going on, but when you find out and get behind, not everybody, but behind some of them, you just go like, oh, there's nothing there. Like, there's nothing there, right? So what's going on? Because the whole thing is about they figured out how to make it look like something was there. And that's what these religious folks were doing. But they then they got to thinking, oh my goodness, you know, what are the people going to think about us? Because, you know, they did spend time with Jesus. And this guy is running around the place that was crippled forever in the Cape Beautiful. You know, what are they going to think about us? That's what they said. So they look at the disciples and they say, okay, we're going to let you go. We're going to drop the charges. Think about it. We're going to drop the charges. But don't preach in this name anymore. Because, see, to bring Jesus up was to bring the very ones whose blood was still on their hands. It was just fresh. This is Ananias. This is, these are people that just killed Jesus. But when you bring up the truth, it makes people feel terrible for the ones who attack God, right? And so, of course, they said, you know, we're going to do it. We're going to obey God. The first thing they did, they end up at the place where they're praying after they get out of jail. And this is what I was talking about when this God just began to just download everything. And of all the things they pray for, and you got to, you know, I mean, you know, well, as Americans, the first thing that we do, American Christians, will be saying, you got a good attorney? You know, we need to pray. You know, Matt, we need to get, somebody needs to vindicate my name because it's important for whatever you say. And Jesus made himself a no reputation, right? Thank God we don't have one.
That's right.
Read our testimony.
That's right.
That's why God's using a separate
John.
That's it. And so, and outside of Jesus, it'll get bigger. Anyway, so then, so they come and they pray of all the things the disciples could pray for because they just got persecuted. They just got locked up in prison. They just found out the religious folks who killed Jesus are ready to kill them, but they were worried about political opinions. And of all the things, and they talked about why do kings plan against you? It's Acts chapter 4. Why do they rage? Why do nations rage against you, God? Why do they plan? Why do they conspire against you? Do they really? It's happening today. It's what's happening across the earth today. And they said, with this in mind, we just prayed that you would give us boldness. Of all the things they could have prayed for, they prayed for more of what got them persecuted. They prayed for boldness. What they said was, okay, this is what God is here. Crank it up a notch. I mean, think about it. It's what they prayed.
Yeah.
And how many people are going like, I'll never bring Jesus up again in the workplace. I almost lost my job.
Right.
Thank God I didn't lose my job. And it's like, I'll never bring God up again at my job because I almost lost it. Whew, honey, that was so important because we got that boat payment due. I mean, think about it. Those people, this is the conversation people have. Right. It's like, and they're thanking God they didn't get fired. And next, I'll never bring God up again at this job. Anyway, so, and so they're saying like, crank it up a notch. I mean, and think when you're backed up against the wall, and listen, you don't want to back a man or woman up against the wall who actually does walk with God because there is no fear. They're saying, my goodness, finally you're listening.
Yeah.
Because you're looking at somebody that had preached for years and all of a sudden now people are responding. And it's like, this is the whole purpose of what he or she wanted to happen. It's like, crank it up a notch. And so when they prayed that, God's spirit filled the room and God granted them the boldness. He gave them the whole room shook. Think about it. You know, they said, crank it up a notch. God shook the room. And all of a sudden they were filled with boldness so they could speak the word of God in boldness. Because there's a lot of a wimpy speaking, but in regards to just speaking it in authority like Jesus. In other words, the reason why you would speak it wimpily or just in a soft way is because you don't believe it. Or is this in your head? But when you believe it, you're like, you're laying down boards and driving nails in and putting screws and bolts together. You're speaking things into existence. You're dealing with some stuff when you're speaking God's word out. And that's what the devil said when Jesus was around. He would say, walking in his ministry, he said, who is this that speaks with such great authority? What Jesus said to the centurion, You got it. You have the great faith and authority talking to about the centurion. So this whole journey began because you think about Jesus. This is what Jesus said. Jesus said, I'm going to go be with the Father. This is the Jesus that we worship, church. Jesus said, I'm going to go be with the Father. I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. The Father's going to, you're going to have a comforter. In other words, the Father, name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're one. Behold, the Lord is one. So I, the Son, are going to go be with the Father, and God's going to send his Spirit down here on the earth. So you're not going to be alone. I'm going to be with you. And so this is what I want you to do. I'm going to go. I want you to go to Jerusalem, and I want you to wait. I want you to wait. We've got to learn how to wait on God. Mm-hmm. I want you to wait. Don't go anywhere. Don't say anything. Don't do anything. Mm. Just wait. Wait on the promise. Remember, he said, I told you about the promise. Remember, the promise is, it's a gift, it's a promise. John baptized you with water, truly, but I'm going to baptize you with power. Think about it, with power, with the words dunamis that's used there. You think about dynamite, it's for the word. I'm going to give you power. So he says, don't say nothing, don't do anything. And how many people just like, I got to go do this thing? It's like, yeah, you're called, but you're not chosen yet. You need to hold on a little bit, a little dynamite. You need to wait a little minute. You got to get some power, right?
That's right.
Gotta get some, yeah. I got this thing down. No, you don't. Not yet. And so he said, wait. And because they waited, they had the power to preach a message that God touched. And I began to talk about that, you know, that wait for the promise of our Father. You know, wait for the promise. We got to wait. Everybody's in such a hurry. It's like, why do anything? Because you can do nothing outside of God. Mm-hmm. You need the power of God. That's what separates you, is the presence and the power of God. Moses said, I'm not going to go anywhere without you. And I started talking about this because at the beginning of the year, the Lord spoke to me about Azusa Street. He spoke to me about Charles Seymour. And I was going to spend some time with him, and I was headed to go spend some time with him. And this particular address that I was staying at, I think it was 1906. And as soon as they told me what address I would be staying at from a sabbatical, it said 1906. The Holy Spirit said, that's the year of Azusa Street. Of course, you know, got to Google it. Is that right? You know, right. And my brain doesn't work as well. It's John's.
That's John's.
and so I'm looking like, wow, that's the year of Azusa Street. Mm-hmm. And so then I go, and you can listen, this is all available to you. I'm just giving you just this whole, mm-hmm. I don't want you to hear this, you know. And so then I'm in this place, you know, spending time with God, and all communications pretty much cut off with just, you know, technology and stuff. But out of nowhere, a South African pastor calls me, who just happens to be in America. This happens, somehow the call gets through. And it's a friend of mine that had, they were in together in the States, and he just starts, you know, he wants to talk to me, and he starts praying. You got to remember that Charles Seymour is African-American. And so here God's having a South African pastor speak to me. And so he begins to just pray for me. And he says, listen, America's light can't go out. If America's light goes out, the world's going to go dark. Mm-hmm. America has to stand. What America needs is a second Azusa Street. I'm just dumbfounded. Like, oh my goodness. I think God's saying that we needed a second Azusa Street. And so what Charles Seymour did is that he waited on God. He went through all the persecution. He went through so many things. We talk about this, all the details. But the biggest thing he did is he waited. He waited on God. And suddenly, just like the disciples, the power, the promise, the Spirit of God came in such a way that suddenly he began to move in the power and the presence of God, like the disciples. But in that, still people were making in front of him. They thought he was crazy until there was an earthquake in San Francisco. And as soon as the earth began to shake, it began to quake, and buildings began to fall, and fires began to burn. As soon as that happened, guess what people did? They ran to God. And guess who was there waiting for them? God was waiting for them, because somebody waited on him named Charles Seymour. More we get back from the break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. 3 convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis, to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation, and this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Well, I just want to say right up front that Donna was out shopping, and she got a Saints jersey.
Oh, wow.
A Saints jersey. That's a football team, not hockey. And
does she need something to mop up the floor?
No. Thing about it was, you know, if you look back, if you study the archaeological digs around New Orleans, you'll find out they did win once.
Did they?
They did. Okay. And it must be over because she found it in somebody's garage brand new for a dollar. Do you remember the day that those things were so high? It was like, wow. These were just like, these were like stuffing, you know, for your like place the peanut thing. And so, of course, I'm like, she says, like, y'all got to give this to Pat. And I'm thinking, you got to give that to Pat. I'm going to sleep in it. And I had a dream.
Was it a scary dream? Was it a scary dream?
They just lost again. Okay. I don't know what it was. Okay. There wasn't a dream. Nothing happened as usual. But I can't believe a dollar. It's going for a dollar now.
Wow. I never come across that.
I said, baby, if you ever run into another one, get it.
Yeah,
get it.
Because hook her up.
They will quit printing them after a while.
Yeah.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
So I began to think, you know, obviously the Lord's, I just need to listen, continue to listen to what he's doing. He began to unfold, and the whole talk, the conversation is called the promise, because he said, you know, wait for the promise. Remember the promise of the Father. Mm. And you think about that he says, wait. And it's like, God's got a promise for you. He's got a gift that he wants to give you. We're not called to be powerless. Listen, the reason why so many people turn to men's philosophies and religion and all that, because there's no power. But the thing is, they should be dumbfounded with us about the fact is, look at these simple dudes, but yet this awesome power. Mm. Look at this all-surpassing power in those jars of clay. I mean, this is the whole point.
Yeah.
And Paul, he made sure that he would not come with enticing words when he taught with folks, because he wanted people to not put their trust in him. They wanted to put their trust in God. A religious person wants people to put their trust in them. Mm-hmm. But a true person who's a witness of God wants them to put their trust in God. So they're constantly bragging about their weaknesses and their need for God. And they're open to repent, because they want people to know this is God. It's not man. And so what the church, what we're missing is, and there's a reason why we're missing it. One is, we just thought we could do it without him. You know, he says he stands at the door and knocks, right? And so, this promise, he said, wait for the promise. And so it's time for the church to either get back to the promise, or wait for the promise, or, you know, get this conversation. It'll carry you precept upon precept. It's important to have precept upon precept, because you need to know how the house is built. This stuff about trying to squeeze into a phone booth and come out a spiritual Superman don't work, because you have no foundation. You're like a shooting star. You need to know how you got here. You need to know what happened. You need to know why, because your faith is going to be shaken if you don't know how the house is built. But if you know how the house is built, you're able to stand in the storm. And it has to be built on Jesus Christ. And so then the next time I begin to talk about in the promise, about begin to explain, you know, what is the promise? You know, what was the promise and the power? They got Peter in prison, but they prayed for boldness. And what was this whole thing about, I got to wait for it? And so the next part of this talk was about, you know, what is the promise? What is the promise? And he says, it's the Holy Spirit. and to wait on him. You cannot do this without God's Spirit. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. And these are sons of God, that God wants sons and daughters to be able to follow him. And that's what Jesus did. Even though Jesus was the Son of God and was God, and he laid aside his Godhead and operated in the form of a man, and he refused to pick up that part of him and to operate it. He just humbly took on the form of a servant. He did that so that he could imitate us and show us that you can do this thing. Some people say, oh, that was Jesus. No, if Jesus operated as God, it would not have been good for the ones around. But he just waited until the Spirit moved. He waited till the Father wanted. He didn't say nothing or do nothing unless the Father said or did it. And so that's who we're supposed to be. And so then I begin to explain it. It's going to be really helpful. You got to get this. And then, you know, he starts talking. You look at in Acts when Peter gets filled with this power and the promise, and he starts telling folks, you need to get saved.
Right.
And prior to that, people thought they were, you know, what's being saved? You know what I'm saying? I am a Pharisee. Don't you understand? I'm a very religious person. You don't tell me I need to be saved. I mean, that's kind of how it was. But the power of God dropped. Everybody's listening to their own languages being spoken. They're seeing this guy being healed, this power. Everything's happening. And he says, you need to be saved. And so many people today, it's been so long taught that nobody even understands, what does that mean? Saved from what? And all of a sudden they start saying, well, they don't bring that up anymore. You're not really saved. You're just a believer. And what? And why? And why didn't, if God loves you, then why would you, and that whole big argument happens. Let me tell you. He says, repent and be baptized, and times of refreshing will come upon you. He said to turn away from our wicked ways and come back to God. He said, you're bound for hell. And Jesus Christ, because of what he did on the cross, you can be saved. And then you got to see this, man, because there's somebody that literally went to hell. And you'll hear him talking about what hell's like. And he describes it. I mean, literally, he has a whole vision of hell when it's just powerful. But hell is real. And the whole thing is Jesus saves you from hell. That's what saved means. Saved means we were bound for hell. We couldn't do anything about it. Because when one man fell, we all fell. And you broke one sin, you broke them all. So we're all done in. No one's righteous, no, not one. But then all of a sudden, God sends his Son in our place to live as we live, but yet live a sinless life. And then he paid the price for our sins so that we can be saved. For those who make Jesus Christ the Lord of their life, understand you're being saved from the wrath of God, from eternal damnation where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth forever. So being saved, don't pull that out of your vocabulary. Just find out what it means. As a matter of fact, get in there and listen to this. And watch it. You can watch it or you can listen to it. It's available to all of our partners. Don't forget, just I think it's $9.95 a month. It's all yours. Everything's yours. And then the next part of it, and I can't cover them all. I'll have to cover these in our next program, but this is very, very good. You got to get this. Is about the promise, because some people go, yeah, you know, I could do with the promise. I could do without the promise. You know, I am saved. Why do I need power? Why do I need this? Mm-hmm. But then they fall into the trap of beginning to speak against the promise. They began to say things they shouldn't say because they've put God's Spirit in the wrong place. They separated the Spirit of God as if it's not God, if he's not God. And they begin to do things as much as deny, and sometimes at points blaspheme. I mean, how we respond to the Spirit of God has eternal significance. Mm-hmm. It's amazing, because he says, and I talk about this, you know, and one part of it is that the fact is, the only unforgivable sin, and God can forgive everything, but this one he will not forgive in this lifetime or the lifetime to come. That's red letters. That's Jesus saying that. It has to do with our response towards the promise, towards the Spirit of God. And so, like, hey, you need to hear this. You need to hear this. You need to hear it, because you don't want. I mean, think about it. If you're not reading your Bible, these people that are religious have a wrong viewpoint of the promise. And all of a sudden you're deceived. So you just start speaking against the promise, and you find out, despite what you profess to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you've denied the Spirit of God. You actually spoke against God's Spirit. And you didn't even know it, because you didn't choose to get this teaching. You got to get in and get it. But then I begin to talk about, when the Gentile church was birthed. I mean, it was the promise that differentiated the reality when there was only Messianic believers up until this point. Up until this point, It was only there were only Jews that were actually Christians at this point. They followed Jesus. Mm-hmm. And there was this guy named Cornelius, and you got to hear all this, but God spoke to Cornelius, and God spoke to Peter. Neither one of them knew what God was going to do. But let me tell you what he was going to do. He was going to bring in the non-Jews. He was going to bring in the Gentiles. He was going to bring in people who weren't Jewish into the kingdom of God, and he was going to prove that it was him, that nobody can say anything through the promise. It was the promise that they said, hey, these guys are just like us. Mm-hmm. What can we say? Who are we to put ourselves in place of God? Yeah. And so think about it. How can you differentiate between issues and things what God's doing if you don't even experience the promise? Make sure you join us in our next program, because I want to cover a few of these things, because this is all available for you at VFNTV.com, available for all of our partners. We need power now. We need the power of God. We need to wait on the promise, because in that, God will empower us to even go through times of persecution.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
And you know, Pat, I abide. Do you abide?
Oh, yeah.
Steve, do you abide?
Oh, yeah.
I abide, you abide, Steve abides. We all abide together. We want to encourage you to abide along with us.
I think Chris does, too.
And I think Chris does, too. He's shaking over there.
Smile.
He doesn't have a mic. Oh,
there.
He's jumping. He abides, too. And I know Greg abides. Listen, join us in abiding. We talked about how you can get a free, simple plan. Go to iabide.org, select Get Your Free Plan Today. And when you begin to abide, we want to hear what the Lord is saying to you. Contact us. Of course, you can always follow us on Facebook and go to VFNTV.com. to find different ways that you can connect with us and with the program. Mm. And we want to hear what God is saying. There's so many abiders right now, and God's saying so many wonderful things. Children are hearing from God, and they're journaling what God is speaking to them in the Word. And
with
that
crayons.
Is beautiful. Crayons, pens, markers, you name it. They're just writing it down. And God's speaking to them, giving them dreams. And it's like, wow, very good. So the Spirit knows no age. You know that? Spirit knows no age.
Nope.
And when God wants to speak, He will definitely speak.